everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. As we get ready to plunge into Thanksgiving week, it's Monday, the 21st of November. In Thanksgiving week in a badly divided United States of America, it might be a good idea over the Thanksgiving. Hopefully that badly divided will not carry over to the Thanksgiving table on Thursday. So maybe it might be a good idea to kind of have a politics-free turkey dinner coming up on Thursday. But whatever, it is going to be a great week, and hope you had a great weekend. The Buckmaster Show is on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have our worldwide live streaming at kvoi.com and also on my website, buckmastershow.com. If you would like to join in our conversation today, anytime during the hour, you are welcome to do so. Our live line number 790-2040 for your calls and comments. We also invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook. We've still got a few places available for you, and we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Every Monday, we get things rolling with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring a different team of commentators each week. This week, it's Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Aaron Rottenstein is with me. Aaron is the treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party, and we look forward to hearing from Aaron and Mr. Ash. Mr. Ash will be on the phone. He has some business to take care of in Virginia, so he's on the live line, but Aaron is with me here in studio. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com, and of course, they're on Facebook. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Bill. How are you doing?
You're very, very, you're waiting for a call.
We are. My wife and I are expecting our second child any minute now.
Any minute. So if you have to run out of the studio, Hopefully it won't happen in the next 30 minutes, but we will understand. Bruce Ash, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing just great, Bill. Thank you very much, and thanks for indulging me to be able to call in. I'm in Emporia, Virginia.
What?
Our southeast Virginia, right on the North Carolina, Virginia line, and doing business out here. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to call in and talk with you and the listeners.
Have the autumn leaves fallen completely off the trees back there?
You know, it's interesting. We were along I-95 for a little ways today. And there's still some fall leaves there, definitely past the peak. Mm-hmm. But there are some nice red and gold leaves still up on the trees. Depending upon where you're at, you know, probably different heat pockets, a little different leaf formation. But it's definitely fall here. It was about 29 degrees this morning, and you know, hard to imagine 29 degrees when we're having 80 degree temperatures in Tucson.
Yeah, we're having really great weather. A little cloudy today. Aaron, how are you? And I want to talk a little bit about many of the Democrats. Of course, they're very disappointed with the results, but life does go on. But how are you how are you framing it personally? How are you viewing all of this?
You know, I respect the voters. A lot of good, honest people voted for Donald Trump a few weeks ago. And he's going to be the next president. But it's important to remember that when they voted for him, they did so very nervously. They were willing to give him a shot, even though they feared that the racist, awful campaign he was running might seep its way into the White House. And just 2 weeks in, we're already seeing some of those fears being finalized, being realized. As Democrats, we're not going to hold back. We've seen absolutely nothing from Donald Trump on the economy. We've seen absolutely nothing from Donald Trump on jobs. Instead, we've seen him fumbling foreign policy, filling key roles with sycophants, racists, and anti-Semites, and using the full weight and power of the U.S. government to extract personal wealth for himself and his family.
What do you think, Bruce? Should Democrats be worried?
No, but obviously our friend here is. I appreciate where he's coming from. However, he is overreacting and I think in some respects demagoguing the situation. that we find ourselves in. There's no anti-Semitism
Let's go down the line here.
Wait, just let me finish. Okay. It's my turn to talk now. The individuals who have been selected for their roles are fine public servants. They have been voted into office oftentimes, many times over. And the general, I'm not sure if there have been announcements made today, but General Flynn and General Mattis, who are General Flynn, of course, has been named National Security Advisor, and General Mattis is up for another role. These are men with longstanding military careers, given their life of service to our country. And I'm getting a little weary of folks from the left, and these are not liberals. These are real leftists who have tried to take the vitriol and the anger from the election, and are not listening to Mrs. Clinton, who urged everybody to give Donald Trump a chance and have an open heart. And this sounds like the battle's been won and the war has just begun, unfortunately.
All right, now Aaron, it's your turn.
Yeah, Bruce had mentioned Michael Flynn. He's described himself as personally at war with Islam for over a decade. He might be the only person on the planet that thought it was a good idea to invade Iraq, not just in 2002, but also in 1997, 1998, and 1999. Steve Bannon, who's going to be just footsteps.
Bannon,
excuse me. Just footsteps from the Oval Office, describes himself in his own words as a nationalist. The Anti-Defamation League said that Bannon presides over a group of white nationalists, unabashed anti-Semites, and racists. And then, Bruce also alluded to Jeff Sessions. He was unanimously opposed by Republicans in the Senate when he was up for a federal judgeship, explicitly because of his racism.
He was not unanimously opposed by Republicans. I'm sorry. That's just incorrect.
As a prosecutor, he threatened a couple who was registering black voters in the South with 100 years of jail time simply for trying to register black people to vote. And he said he wants to repeal most, if not all, of the Civil Rights Act.
Hmm.
Well, let's look at the selective view that Aaron has described. We know how Democrats register voters.
Bruce, it's not just me. It's the Anti-Defamation League.
And the Anti-Defamation League must not have listened to Alan Dershowitz, probably one of the staunchest liberals in this country, who has said Steve Bannon is not an anti-Semite, Donald Trump is not an anti-Semite, and probably, if asked a question about Jeff Sessions, would say the same thing. He comes from a family, his entire family has given service to this country in public positions and in judicial positions for many generations. And, slur if you want, but their record of public service certainly does not meet the low standards that you're throwing out.
I just want to be clear. The Nazi Party sent out a congratulatory press release on Bannon's appointment.
The Nazi Party can send their congratulations to whoever they want.
Have they sent it to anybody else this year, Bruce?
They're not welcome. Well, they are not welcomed, and you know that is just a way for you to demonstrate the loathing that you have for the Republican.
I am not thrilled that the Nazi Party is celebrating Trump picks. I absolutely reject that. I'm horrified by it.
All right.
You are, apparently.
Well, let's move on. What is the future of the Democratic Party as you see it, Aaron, rather than get into some of these appointments or these folks who may be on the cabinet? Where do the Democrats go from here?
I think we go in a lot of the same directions that we've been going. I think we need to work on how we're presenting it to people. I think we need to be more inclusive as a party. The elections that President Obama won were the ones where he deliberately and intentionally built the most inclusive coalition of people, transcending race, gender, religion, that have ever been assembled in America. And I think that's our path forward. We saw some of that in Arizona this year. We didn't get as many wins as we wanted to anywhere, But in Arizona, we saw a minimum wage increase. We saw unprecedented and record-breaking Hispanic voter registration and turnout. Joe Arpaio was fired up in the Phoenix area. And, you know, we take those steps and we move forward.
Bruce, the Republicans overall did pretty well in Arizona. Would you say it was a pretty good day?
Republicans did pretty well in Arizona, Bill and Aaron, but they did well everywhere in the country. Republicans hold more elected officials positions on a local, state, and federal basis than at any time since the 1920s. The Democratic Party, notwithstanding some of the pronouncements that the party is dead, still has a long time in the future to grow. But if you want to grow the way that Aaron's talking about, with leftists such as Keith Ellison, Bernie Sanders, and some of the other fringe left members of the U.S. Congress, the party has been hollowed out by Barack Obama over the last 8 years. You can't look to very many governors. You can't look to very many members of the U.S. Senate. You can't look to very members of the U.S. House for a future, a path forward for the Democratic Party. There is a lack of consensus, although Aaron talks about wanting to reach out to more people. I don't know who else the Democratic Party could possibly have left out, pandering to every single group there is, it seems, in the world. And getting back to a comment that he made about General Flynn, Democrats, for the most part, I would suspect Aaron might feel the same way, have refused to say that Islamic jihad is at odds with the Western world. Democrats, probably like Aaron, feel that global warming is the biggest issue that we have. And if that's the
Bruce, is global warming real?
Party is going to take.
Is global warming real, Bruce?
And that's the direction that the Democratic Party is going to take. They're going to lose a lot more elections before they're done.
Aaron wants to know if you believe global warming is real. Was that your was your question?
Yeah.
I believe that the temperatures go up and the temperatures go down.
Which way are they going right now, Bruce?
Go up and the rains go down. And that is what you call weather.
Okay.
So the general understanding of global warming, you don't believe that that's a phenomenon that we're experiencing as a global, as a planet
right now? I told you what I believe, and I think the listeners to this show would agree with me.
Okay, we'll take a break right here. Walter is waiting, and he will be first up when we come back on our live line, 790-2040. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon on Buckmaster, a conversation with former Congressman Ron Barber. Plus, our sports guy, Anthony Jimeno, previews the big rivalry game, UA-ASU, coming up on Friday. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening podcasts and our complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. It's presented by my friend Mo. Mo Gall is the owner of Mo's Fine Framing, and they do such a great job. I have all my framing done at Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. In fact, I'll have a job for him probably this upcoming weekend, Mo. So if you're listening, you'll be seeing me very soon. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. Aaron Rottenstein is with us. Aaron is a fine young man who's 31 years old, treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. And Bruce Ash, very familiar to our listeners. Bruce is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And we have two calls, so let's get to them. Walter has been waiting very patiently. Hey, Walter, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I am a Democrat.
I'm kind of
nervous.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Did you say...
I am a Democrat.
Okay.
I'm going to change that because of what I saw this election cycle. I've never been a fan of the GOP. I always thought they were slow, and they were obsessed with gay marriage for some reason. But I never saw them as bad or evil. What I saw from the Democratic Party now, I'm ashamed. That's why I'm leaving. I don't know what party, not the GOP. I'm going to change because I saw them. They were taken over by what I call leftism, and I looked it up, and you know, this notion that you could just, your argument is to immediately call somebody a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe. You're building the wall, so to say, immediately closing off all discussion or all fair of intellectual arguments on your opposing sides. But that's all the Democrats did this election cycle was bully people with accusations that they never, ever have to factually back up. And it got Donald Trump elected. I voted for Donald Trump because I saw the bullying from the left on Trump supporters, even violence against Trump supporters, which is appalling to me. So this, Aaron, that will never work. You have to rise above, use your intellect, stop insulting people and calling them racist or, oh, he's a xenophobe or homophobe. You don't go somewhere else. Keep the lane open. Keep the lanes of discussion open. All you do is close them down when you insult and accuse people.
Okay, Walter, thank you very much for calling. And let's let Aaron respond to your call.
Yeah, like I said earlier, Walter, I know a lot of really good, honest people that voted for Donald Trump. And nothing about them as people changed because of the decision they made on a couple Tuesdays ago. But this has been a discussion that's been going on for a couple of years now. And when Donald Trump began his campaign by calling Hispanics rapists and went on from there, we have no other choice than to call a spade a spade. And I'm going to do it every single day for the next 4 years until we replace him as president of the United States.
Robert is our next caller to the show. Robert, go ahead.
Hi. So I called about climate change, and I'll be quick on both points. I'd like to address what he just said. If you look at the record, Donald Trump never said Hispanics as a group are rapists. What he said was that the flow of illegal immigration was allowing rapists and criminals to come across the border. That's a far different statement. And secondly, on climate change, okay, this is the science, in quotes, has become incredibly politicized. And the proof of that was back in 2009 when some of the most prominent scientists from the UN conference on climate change changed their models to suit what they already had a preconceived notion of. The actual data wasn't showing climate change or global warming according to their model, so they were changing the model. So you can't trust this science, and I completely agree with Bruce on that issue.
Okay, Robert, thank you for weighing in. Aaron?
Yeah, we're all in agreement weather's a thing, but As the Chinese correctly pointed out this week in response to Donald Trump falsely calling climate change a Chinese hoax, it was two Republican presidents before the science was politicized that began global work on addressing climate change. And it's an awful, awful shame that the party strayed from the ideals of Reagan and George H.W. Bush on that issue.
Bruce, you're still with us, and we've got a couple more calls. You want to quickly weigh in on what you heard with those two calls, Bruce, before I move on to the other two calls that are waiting?
No, let's go ahead and hear the listeners.
Okay. I believe the next call will be Lauren. Hello, Lauren.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll try to make it brief. One
Thank
point,
you.
Not three.
Thank
the
you.
The point being what your liberal guest just mentioned, and I hate to say it, but my perspective is that the liberal left tends to generalize way too much. Once they have a tidbit of information they don't like, they run with it, and it seems to – they think it's going to win the entire game for them. The case in point being if Donald Trump disparaged Mexican people – he was specifically targeting, if he said rapists and criminals, I think those were the comments.
Mm-hmm.
He meant just that. He doesn't mean the entire Hispanic race. And if you guys take that little tidbit and explode it into this overblown, exaggerated concept, I think that's one of the reasons that they lost the election.
Okay. It's interesting to hear your point of view, Lauren. I mean, Lauren, thank you for your point of view. Aaron?
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. All I can say is, as a Democratic Party in this election, we had unprecedented reach into the Hispanic community here in southern Arizona. We had offices opened up, down on the south side. We have a really vibrant Latino caucus within our party.
Did the Hispanic vote turn out better in this election?
It did in Arizona. There was actually we don't have to relitigate the election, but
right.
There were headlines in major papers talking about, especially in Arizona, the Latino turnout. They were offended by those comments. The vast majority of the Latino community, it wasn't just the Latino community. Donald Trump's made disparaging comments about Black people, about women. We can only for so long say that they shouldn't be insulted by it. Everyone is entitled to feel the way that they do. And too often we're hearing people say that the things coming out of this president's mouth are personally hurtful for them. And that's unacceptable.
Bruce, let's bring you in. I haven't had you on much during this segment because it was great to hear some from some callers. Come on in.
Well, I'm a presidential elector, Bill, as you know, Aaron, as you know. And I'd like Aaron to tell me why he thinks I should be tolerating almost 10,000 emails sent to my email address, hacking my account,
whoa,
totally spamming my account, calling me a racist, calling me a homophobe, calling me a nativist, even calling me an anti-Semite. People who've never met me, who have no idea where I stand on the issues. And frankly, I don't even know if the emails that have been produced for the most part are actually organically being sent by individuals. I suspect there's an algorithm that some of the groups who are sponsoring this sort of harassment and voter suppression have engaged in. But can you explain why about 300 electors, Republican electors around this country, have been browbeaten the way that leftists, sore losers in the Democratic Party have done so far to try to change the constitutional, legitimate election of Donald Trump?
I'm happy to talk about that in a second, but first I want to say that you've beaten me up twice now for calling Trump's racist remarks racist, and you've called me a leftist three times without that being checked.
But
more importantly than that, Bruce, I read your comments about that in the Republic a couple days ago, and my heart sank. You are an elector, and if people in this community want to reach out to you in a civilized, respectful way to articulate their point of view, I absolutely advocate that they do so. I think that we all agree that that's probably something that happens in this day and age. If you're calling – Bruce Ash is not a racist. He's an honorable man. He's somebody I personally looked up to in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Southern Arizona is better off for having you and your family here, Bruce. If you're sending Bruce Ash threatening emails, you need to stop. If you're making threatening calls to him and his family, you need to stop. I personally don't stand with you on that. And obviously the Democratic Party does not stand with you if you are sending hateful, violent messages towards Bruce Ash.
But Aaron, I appreciate your comments. They're very sincere. I know that.
Yeah.
But the Democratic Party has said nothing while these are going out to all the Republican electors across the country.
Yeah.
And it's damaged my business.
No, I understand. But, you know, we talked about the Nazi Party sending out a press release earlier, and you said that that's not, you know, the Republicans' business to deal with either. So I'm at a loss why the email is directed.
These come from Democratic core groups.
Those come from core groups in the Trump coalition, Bruce.
Really?
Okay. Bruce, we're going to have to run, but Mr. Rottenstein does – it is heartfelt what you just said about Bruce Ash.
Yeah, no, I mean that.
Yeah, and Bruce, you take it as such, I assume, too.
I do. I'm thankful that in our country, when an election has been concluded,
mm-hmm.
Men and women of good faith gather together, some to fight against what they think is the way the government's going, and others to work toward those goals. That's the American way. We don't browbeat people. We get to work, and we make this country a better place. And I would just ask that we move on from here. We try to make America great again, and that we stand stronger together as a nation by doing so.
All right. Bruce Ash, before you go, I want to wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise.
Thank you.
And
I
want to wish Aaron and his young family, soon to be another Rottenstein, will be coming perhaps before the end of the day. So
we'll keep you posted.
Yes,
yeah,
so that's certainly
one,
something
you can break the news
to think about for your at your Thanksgiving table. No, we're very blessed to have some really sharp people in this community, and I appreciate it. Aaron, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Take care. Happy
All
Thanksgiving.
Right. Thank you both.
Same. Happy Thanksgiving to really everyone. And again, maybe it would be best to have a no politics zone over the Thanksgiving table. 12:34 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, this portion presented by one of my favorite places in Tucson, Green Things. Green Things on 13 acres just west of the Brandy Fenton Park at 3384 East River Road. You know, poinsettias are very synonymous, iconic, really, with the holiday season. Nobody's got more poinsettias than Green Things. In fact, my wife and I will be over there Friday checking out the inventory to really brighten up our home for the holidays. I suggest you do the same thing. You will not believe the variety and the colors that they have over there. So check out Green Things. Really can decorate your home for the holidays with some beautiful, beautiful poinsettias. Go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. Also, they have the listing of the holiday workshops Saturday and Sunday with a different speaker every day talking about gardening on the weekends, every day on the weekends. And that's a free workshop Saturday and Sunday. All right, let's go back to the live line. David Safir. David writes about education, politics, and the media for the Tucson Weekly under their Range column at TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you feeling today?
Well, a little under the weather, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
I'm calling in. I figure you can't catch anything over the phone lines, right? Well, and I don't want to do anything to endanger your Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you so much. Of course, I was disappointed when I heard that you would be on the live line, because it's always great to have you here in the studio. But
yeah, I certainly
understand if you are coming down with something. It really saves me from perhaps coming down with something on Thanksgiving Day or over the holiday weekend. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
David, I looked at you've posted an education piece at The Range at TucsonWeekly.com, and it really talks a little bit about we don't really know what to expect from the federal level with a Trump presidency, do we?
No, we don't. He's given us very vague inklings, and like all things that are campaign promises, you never know what's going to come from them and how much is, you know, will change, how much the actual Congress will pass. But I do know one thing, and one thing that concerns me even more than his policies. I'm a Democrat, and I'm pretty devastated by the way this election has turned out. But I do know that there are going to be all kinds of conservative ideas in education and elsewhere that I'm going to fight against, but I know that lots of them are going to come through, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But what frightens me and worries me most is some of the demonizing that was done during the election. And I know you were talking about that in the first half of the show.
Yeah.
Demonizing of Hispanic immigrants, demonizing of Muslims. And that's a terrible thing to be happening nationwide. But it also affects school kids. And there are any number of stories that have come out anywhere from K through 12 schools to colleges of people feeling emboldened by some of the rhetoric that Trump has used during the campaign to say to a Hispanic kid, build a wall, build a wall, build a wall, when are you leaving here? And to really denigrate students who are Muslim, women who might be wearing scarves, things of that nature. This is very, very destructive to schools, and it's something that, you know, I'm a teacher of 30 years. I always try to create a safe environment in my classroom. I think there should be as much as possible a safe environment in schools. And this is going to be an unsafe area for a while until it's gotten under control. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
All right. 790-2040. Folks are welcome to call in if there's something that you hear, Mr. Safir, that you disagree with. Call in and enhance our conversation. So we can expect some of the things like more vouchers, more charters to come up.
But that's one of the few things that, well, the three things that Donald Trump talked about was he likes vouchers, which is the government paying part of tuition at private school, whether it's religious or non-religious, that doesn't matter. He likes charter schools. He complains about our failing government schools, which is what he calls them and which is called a lot in this state as well. And the other thing is he's always come out against Common Core. So these are the three things we should see being played with. And there's a lot of agreement on these issues in the Republican Party. The question really is, how much can be done at the federal level? And Trump proposed that there be $20 billion in federal dollars going towards school choice, being the umbrella word for both the charters and the vouchers. And that's, Bill, a lot of money. So I don't know if he's going to get that. I'm sure it won't be new money. But to put that in perspective, most people know about Title I funding, which goes to schools with lots of low-income kids to help boost the education. The entire spending for a year for Title I is $14 billion. In other words, $6 billion less than Trump said he wanted to give to choice. Pell Grants, which are grants for kids to go to college to help pay for tuition, that's $22 billion. That's only $2 billion more than he's asking for. So I don't know how that promise is going to be carried out. And if it does, the money is going to come from elsewhere. Republican legislators aren't very fond of adding money to the budget. They'd much rather make it a zero-sum game and take it from elsewhere. So that's going to be real dicey, real questionable.
Okay. Let's invite Ingrid to join in our conversation. She called at 790-2040. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. Can you go back to the previous subject for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
I have two situations here that really need to be addressed briefly, I guess. The flying of the Mexican flag on this side of the border by Mexican nationals, and the business of the judge that Trump rejected being a member of La Raza. What is La Raza? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm not quite sure, David, about... Well, go ahead with La Raza.
Well, she obviously disagrees with me and agrees more with Donald Trump. The flying of the Mexican flag, I haven't heard people object too much about St. Patrick's Day parades or things of that nature, Italian pride parades or things like that. So I'm not sure that that holds. As for the judge, she says a member of La Raza. I don't even want to go into that other than to say that I'm not sure exactly what organization he's part of, but the La Raza organizations are organizations which are kind of Hispanic support and Hispanic pride organizations. They are not, as I know she was implying, racist organizations.
All right, it's exactly 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir will stick around for another segment, so this means you have an opportunity right now to call us at 790-2040, and we will be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's about 12:50, 10 minutes to 1 on this Monday of Thanksgiving week. And we are very thankful here at the Buckmaster Show for all of our fine sponsors, supporters who've been with us, many of them since we began our program on January 3rd, 2011. That means we'll be coming up on 6 years with this program in January. One of our very longtime sponsors are the fine people in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive to historic Silver City. Great place to just hang out in downtown, visit some of the great restaurants there, go up to the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, hike in the Gila National Forest, and there are some very, very nice properties to stay at in Silver City, and I strongly suggest and urge you to visit their website. It is southwestnewmexico.org. The fine listing, or the listing of the fine places to stay and the many things to do there at southwestnewmexico.org. David Safir writes about education, media, and politics for the Tucson Weekly. His work can be seen at tucsonweekly.com, and his work usually provokes a lot of comments, some good for him, some bad, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But, David, you get a lot of reaction, don't you, usually?
Yeah, a lot of people do chime in on a variety of points of view. More, I would say, negative than positive.
Uh-huh.
It gets a little bit, I'm going to say, ugly down there on the comment section.
So if we want a model for the educational direction that President-elect Donald Trump plans to take us, perhaps we should look at Indiana, the home state for the Vice President-elect Mike Pence.
Well, that's true. Mike Pence has put together a voucher program, or I think it was put together by the previous governor, but he expanded it in Indiana. A number of students are involved in it right now, and he's opened it up to a lot of students, a lot of families, not just families who are lower income, which is problematic, but it's what we want to do in Arizona, we being the Republicans who want to take the voucher programs we have, and we have two semi-voucher programs. They might say that they aren't, but they really are here, and every year they try to get more and more students eligible for those programs. And this year, at the state level, we really don't know quite what they're going to do. And I would say that you could almost say that Arizona is a model for what Trump wants to do as well. You know, when the state legislature gets in and start talking budget, I don't think we're going to be seeing a whole lot in the way of new money. If you remember, Bill, we got some new money from Proposition 123, but that wasn't from the state budget. So they really haven't kicked in anything. It's more than time. They really should. Even with that new 123 money, we're still down in the basement in terms of the amount we spend per student. So they should. I don't think they will.
All right, let's go to our live line, 790-2040. A longtime friend of this program, Mr. Jim Kelly. Jim, how are you?
I am well, Bill. Thank you for letting me on again.
Uh-huh.
Hey, David, how are you, sir? Listen, you know, you absolutely always seem to, I don't want to project anything on you, but you object to charter schools, private schools, and the voucher program. that allows students to customize education for their needs and the way that they learn, and yet at the same time continue to promote one-size-fits-all government-run schools that throw everybody into the same mix and give the lowest common denominator for, you know, for education. Why do you still object to customized education? Is that or is that not, you know, saying, you know, everybody's a genius, but you can't force a fish to climb a tree?
Jim, if you look at my posts, anything I've written, you'll find I do not object to charter schools. You'll find that all the way down the line. Even when I criticize some specific schools, I don't object to the concept of charter schools, never have. I have some problems with it, but I think it's here to stay, and it's a mixed bag. I object in charter schools to the fact that they're treated by a different standard, that they're not nearly as transparent with their funding or their curriculum or their leadership as public schools are, and because of that, there's a huge possibility of abuse. By the way, charter schools ranked next to the public schools in Arizona by a study out of Stanford by people who really are education reform conservatives, said that kids, as a rule, do less well in charter schools, equivalent kids back and forth. So it's not like that this is a nirvana. The problem with vouchers, and I really don't want to go into vouchers a lot, I think the problem isn't so much that kids get to go to those schools, but that really it tends to be a program that benefits the wealthy people who either almost can send their kids to private schools or can already and get money. For instance, in Indiana, where we were talking about Mike Pence's voucher program, the average voucher is about $4,000 a year. Well, anybody who knows anything about private schools knows that you can get into some religious schools that can be around that area, and maybe with a little bit of scholarship or a little bit of personal money. But the private schools that everybody has in their mind as the top flight private schools, those start at $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 per year. Nobody is going to get into those schools who's low income at $4,000 a year. It becomes extremely discriminatory. So I tend to disagree with a lot of what you said about me. And by the way, to say that public schools are one size fits all, I think you need to look at schools around the state and around the country, including schools like University High School, other schools that are magnet schools, other schools that are doing some fairly innovative things. And remember that choice does include students' choice to go to any public school that they can get to that has an opening. So a kid from the Foothills District can go to a Tucson school, a kid from the Tucson District can go to a Foothills school, so long as those schools have room after they've let in people in their own districts.
Jim, did you have a quick follow-up? I've got less than a minute or so.
Yeah, David, I understand what you're saying, but even today with public-private schools, if a kid's poor, he's not going to go to a school that charges $20,000 a year for tuition. But $4,000 to get to a private school that fits his needs, I see no problem with that. No poor kid is ever going to get that $20,000 a year school without a scholarship. So, yes, that's not a good and fair comparison in my view. But thank you for clarifying your position on charter schools and vouchers. I do appreciate it, David.
You bet.
Thank you, Jim. Just about out of time, and of course, we had the TUSD election. I'm sorry I've only got about a minute on this. I do want to send out kudos to Blake Morlock, a nice piece in TucsonSentinel.com with Rachel Sedgwick, who has been elected to the TUSD board. She'll be a guest here on this program next week. David, some quick thoughts about TUSD election.
Well, I want to send something out to Rachel, which is that I am hoping that she is as thoughtful as she sometimes came off in the forums, which I saw her, and as she's been in some interviews. I haven't read the Blake Morlock piece yet, and really looks carefully at what's going on. I'm impressed with the fact that she has some legal background. She's going to law school now, I believe, and that will be a real asset on the board. The board does need to look at all kinds of issues. This can be something that can help or harm TUSD, and I hope it's helpful. I hope she is a positive voice and a positive vote on the board.
All right, David, we'll talk some more about this when we meet with you in a month or so. By then, we will have I will have interviewed her and had a chance to meet her as well. David, I hope you feel better and are ready for Thanksgiving Day on Thursday.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate talking to you.
Thank you very much. David Safir, his work is seen at TucsonWeekly.com. And that's going to pretty much do it for our Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The name of the program coming up at 4 is called Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen together. Then we have our 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson with Chris DeSimone. From 9 to 10, it's a new program, new local program. It's called Talking Culture. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow. Should be an interesting chat with former Congressman Ron Barber talking about whatever happened to civility in our political process. That's coming up tomorrow on Buckmaster. Until then, on behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.